Yes, you can just call me Anka. It's a Panait. Quite difficult to pronounce, though.
It's another Friday afternoon, and you are tuned to another episode of The Such Show, where there's laughing.
No worry, I'm nervous as well. Oh, sorry.
No, you're fine. All right, go for take three.
Okay, sorry.
These are the outtakes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sod Show Garden Podcast.
It's another Friday afternoon, and you're tuned to another episode of the Sod Show Garden Podcast. It's been a while since I did one of these. When I say one of these, that is to say sitting in the Sod Show studio. I say studio because I was, as you might say, in the field. And on today's show, I have a lady by the name of Anka Elena. I hope I pronounced this right, Panait. Where I first stumbled across her was at RHS Tatton 2017. But before I get there, I just want to let you know about a little bit of news. And it is from Chris Crooker at Perennial, who is a former guest of the show. That's Perennial, the Gardeners Royal Benevolent Society. And they have an evening at the Flamingo Room in London's West End. It's Thursday the 18th of January, and tickets are on sale pretty much as we speak. They are but £25, and they note that including a glass of bubbly on arrival. I will be there, and that is pretty much all you need to know. Anything you need at Sodshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesodshow and sodshow.com. So let's get into this. Anka, how are you? You're very welcome to the Sodshow.
Hi, Peter. Thank you very much. I'm very flattered for the introduction.
You're most welcome. Anka, for those who are not aware, your accent isn't Irish. Let's put it in a nutshell. Where are you from, Anka?
I'm originally from Romania. From Transylvania, you probably heard of it. It's the land of Dracula and the Carpathian Mountains.
But you know, Anka, when people say to me, and I've only ever met two or three people who are from Transylvania before, and they say to me, you've probably heard of it because, you know, the whole Dracula thing. And I always say to them, yeah, but when I tell people I'm from Dublin, they always say to me, leprechauns and shamrocks.
It is a story. It is a story, but it has a seed of truth in it. It's about the history of Romania, and I guess it's a thing that a lot of people come to see in Transylvania, the Dracula's castle, and a lot of people are attracted mostly because of that story of Dracula.
What do you do for a living as it stands now, and where are you based?
Well, I'm a landscape architect most of the week. 4 days a week I work for an architecture company, and 1 day a week I'm a freelance garden designer. The idea is to start my own business, but I'm still trying to find my feet around this industry, so I'm just taking it easy. At the moment, I am based in Glasgow, but I do work around all UK.
Well, let's go to where you did your education, Anka. Where did you study horticulture?
Well, I didn't study horticulture. I did my undergrad study in landscape design and urban planning back home in Romania. And then I moved to Edinburgh to do my master's in landscape architecture. And since then, I've been working for an architecture company, but I always felt attracted to designing smaller spaces. And I guess Tatton gave me the opportunity to do that, to develop as a garden designer and just start my own career.
So are you at this moment in time in business under your own name now?
Yes. Since Tatton, I have started my own business as a garden designer as well. So I have a couple of projects after Tatton at the moment working, and hopefully we'll get some more very soon.
Okay, well, let's go to the Tatton thing then, Anka, because it's possibly the thing that most people would have still fresh in their memories. The garden that I'm aware, because I did some research in brackets, thank you very much, Tim Howell, who I know is a big fan of yours. Prospect and Refuge, is that what you call it?
Yes, indeed. The garden was a personal interpretation of an outdoor office theme, because that was the brief given by RHS to young designers. And the title of Prospect and Refuge was basically inspired by a theory with the same name that describes how people feel more secure in an environment if they observe without being seen, And I just played with the idea of levels and views to create an outdoor office space where people can connect again with nature.
So what was the response to the garden at Tatanka? Because when I spoke with Warnes McGarr, who did the Cactus Direct garden a couple of weeks ago on the show, the point that I made in that interview was that in previous gardens that I designed and built, I had sometimes equal amounts of praise as much as I had people critical of it. Did you receive both levels of that?
I think it's normal to receive some critical response, but the overall response was very positive. It was an overwhelming experience, and I don't regret it. I don't regret doing it for anything in the world. I mean, having people coming to see you and talk to you and saying, "Oh, I like your design. I like your garden. You should have gotten gold." And all of that, it's the best feeling in the world. In the end, it was a competition, but in the end, it is designed for the public. So if people enjoy it, that's the greatest satisfaction that you can get.
To clarify that for those of you listening at home, Anka was one of the three finalists chosen by the Royal Horticultural Society for the Young Designer of the Year 2017 competition that culminated with building the Prospect and Refuge Garden at RHS Flower Show Tatton. You would have worked alongside another former guest of the show, Paul Hervey Brooks, therefore, I gather. How was that experience, Anka, and can you tell me what it was like as a, if you don't mind me saying this, but as a young girl, a young lady, to the point to enter into this competition that I gather you'd never done before? Was it a nervous thing? And how, curiosity killed the cat, did that process go?
Yeah, I mean, it was something very new because it is my very first RHS garden, and it is my very first garden by myself. I did, last year, I won again, along with a colleague, I was doing a garden in France as part of a festival, international garden festival. And that kind of gave me the confidence to pursue a career in garden design by myself. The application process was quite straightforward. You just do a design and application and you go for an interview. But after you've been selected and being mentored by Paul Hervey Brooks, it's a very interesting, and you learn a lot from him. And from the other designers as well, because although it was a competition, we were there and we were helping each other. We were going together to see to nurseries. We were going together to other flower shows. So it was a very interesting and a good learning experience for every garden designer.
Let me just clarify this. I know I've been in touch with the RHS press office, and I've been chatting with Isabel Coulter, who would be head of the show there. For those listening at home who are thinking of entering the Young Designer competition, and bear in mind this is podcast, so it may be for those listening who are thinking of entering in 2018 or in 19. Once you go through that interview process, what happens then after that? They say you're selected, you have a sponsor, do you have to pay for your own build? How does that part all work to produce that garden?
Once you get through the interview, I mean, once you pass the interview, they tell you whether you are through or not. But at that stage, you will need to have an idea of how much money that garden will cost. Because money, always money are the key issue in having a show garden, because it's about quality, high standards. So you do need to have a contractor on board, and you do need to have ideally a sponsor or a way of knowing how you'll get your garden built. RHS does provide you with a sum, but in a real world, that's not enough.
So who built the garden for you at Tatanka?
It was JK Wilson Gardening, and I'm very grateful because I didn't have a contractor initially, so they came last minute on board. So they helped me with the design, and they are very famous. They have a lot of experience in doing flower show garden. So they have been very helpful and supportive throughout the full process.
If you don't mind me asking, because again, I'm reaming off names here, not for the sake of reaming off names. It's more for the sake of, if people are listening to this, that they can refer back to those interviews and they'll understand how difficult that is. But, you know, I spoke with Mark Gregory in interview again in 2017, a gentleman who's built a 150 Chelsea flower show gardens. And in a nutshell, to secure Mark to build your garden, in my head, not his words, but in mine, it means you're pretty much guaranteed silver. So when, I won't say an unknown, and I don't mean to be disingenuous to you, but when you go to somewhere like Kay Wilson and you say to them, would you build my garden? What is the response on that, and how did that process work?
Well, initially I went to the RHA saying, I want to submit an application for this competition, but I don't have a contractor. I'm a newbie. Can you please advise or help me finding a contractor? And they provide me with a list. And I guess in a way I was lucky because they had the time to do a flower show garden at Tatton, because in this year they've also helped Paul Harvey Brooks doing a garden at Chatsworth and at Hampton. So they are really, really busy. How did I convince them? I submitted a visual to them with how I wanted the garden to look and part of my brief. And I guess the response was instantly, yes, I want to work with you.
Let me just clarify this. For those of you listening at home, correct me if I'm wrong here, Anka, but when a new designer comes to the fore, and I say new designer, when you start building at Tatton, when you become, let's say, a Paul Harvey Brooks or an Andrew Wilson and a Gavin McWilliam, all of these former guests of the show, when you listen to those interviews, for those of you at home, come back to this one then and you'll understand maybe a little bit better how it all works. But the difficulty becomes a little bit that the contractor, and we'll take Mark Gregory as an example, he's not here to defend himself as it, by the way, would that contractor, I'm not saying step down a level, but would that contractor go to a new garden designer who is not at Chelsea, who is at Tatton, who is new to the fore, where there is a possibility that they may not get gold, where it may not receive as much praise, where for the same amount of time they could go to somewhere like Chelsea, receive gold, know they're working with that designer, know they're working with that contractor, know they're going to get that amount of PR. Does that sum it up a little bit better, Anka, or can you explain it in better words for me?
Yes, that kind of sums up. I mean, it is still a competition for themselves. It's not only for us. They want to win gold. They want to be the best as well. So it is very important when approaching a contractor, from my personal experience, that you need to sell yourself very well. You need to have something to show to the contractor. Like it's like when you are bidding for a project or bidding for when doing a competition. You want to show your best in order to get the best.
But equally, there's a point, Anka, where whether it's building for competition or whether it's just building a garden, it's a relationship, and you're new to this business and they're not new to this business, and they would have had to have started somewhere to build that name. And it's that repeat conversation that I had with Warren's Magar, where how do you become the best in the business when you're only starting off and the only work that you can get is cutting hedges or cutting grass? How do you become the best designer on the planet when you need to put food on the table for the garden? That I'm aware you won Silver Guild for it.
Yes, I did receive a Silver Guild for the garden, which I'm very happy. I'm very happy about it. For my very first RHA show garden, I'm really pleased about the result. Yeah, sorry, Peter. I mean, it was an emotional journey, and It takes almost a full year to plan the construction of the garden and then build it in 2 weeks. And just in one day, having it judged by several people, and I mean being filmed and everything, it is an emotional journey, but it's a good learning curve as well.
Did I see a photograph of Monty Don sitting in your garden? Did I get that right?
Yes. Monte Don was in my garden as part of the, I think, Gardeners World. BBC did the footage on that, and I guess I was the lucky one having Monte Don in my garden. It was an amazing experience meeting him. I mean, it's one of my heroes. So meeting him, I mean, I was almost, I didn't know what to say initially.
Because the one thing that struck me about that photograph, and don't get me wrong, if you've ever, for those of you listening at home, if you've ever been to Chelsea, I think the standard joke that I had about Chelsea 2016, turned around and to my left-hand side was Gerry Hall and to my right-hand side was Rich Hall, the comedian. And I was going to make a joke to the both of them, but however, it's not that case. My point is that to see a, inverted commas, celeb sitting in a garden would be nothing new to me. To see that photograph, Anka, the one thing that I took from it was that he looked so relaxed. I mean, he's more relaxed in that photograph than I've ever been in my lifetime.
Well, that's a compliment. I'll take it as a compliment, and I'm very flattered. Yes, he did seem very relaxed. I mean, he does that for a living, so I'm not surprised about it. But yes, he's a lovely man, and he did. I was very flattered to meet him and to say that he likes my garden.
A silver gilt on one hand for the BBC to select it to film it, to feature, for Monty to sit inside it. It is a huge compliment when you consider that Ireland has no garden television show, and this, without question, Gardener's World is the greatest TV show that I have ever been aware of in my lifetime since year dot. Anka, the garden that you referred to, the international competition that you were involved in, and that is one that I am extremely well aware of, which is the Chaumont-sur-Loire. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that one?
Yes, of course. So along with a colleague, we took part in 2016. We submitted a design for this competition. And we were lucky to represent UK in 2016 as part of the Chaumont-sur-Loire International Garden Festival. And this was a dream of mine, because this was back in the day when I was at uni. This was the first competition that I submitted to, but I was unsuccessful. And I knew then that was the one that I actually wanted to go back and do it. So getting a plot to do Chaumont-sur-Loire was, again, a very good learning curve and gave me confidence to start a garden design career. It was self-built as well. It is very different from RHS shows, because at RHS shows, the festival tends to last for a week or 2 weeks, while in France, this garden festival lasts for 6 months. So the construction, the planning, all the plans, it's a completely different process.
And it's not only that, Anka, but the garden has to look at its best for those 6 months as well. And it's not also, I should add, in the middle of a setting. So again, for those who aren't aware at home, not to be disrespectful in any way, but in, let's say, a Chelsea or a Hampton Court or a Tatton, you have an 8 meter by 10 meter plot, or a 20 by 10 approximately, or a 3 by 3. You block it off on two sides and you build your garden into, let's say, that recess or into that corner. In Chaumont-sur-Loire, it's not that kind of a setup. The gardens are almost individual and 360 the whole way around.
It is like a fairy tale place, isn't it? You have the castle, you have the grounds of the castle, which are enormous, and then you have 28 plots. Surrounded, each plot surrounded by a 2 meter high beech hedge. So you have again that privacy privacy offered by this hedge. So it is a different, I guess, scenario, different location setting. But the preparations are pretty much the same. I mean, it's still a lot of hard work. You still need to prepare in advance. Probably I would say a year in advance, as well as you would do for an RHS show garden.
Can I ask you, Anke, and I know you're a young girl, so I won't get into trouble for, I say young girl, young lady, but whatever the case, I don't, come on, I've got four sisters, you can't give out to me, I'm always in enough trouble as it stands, but you're young enough that I won't get into trouble for asking you your age.
28 years old, yes.
Yeah, okay, right, okay, that's fine, I've got that out of the way, and hopefully I'm not getting into trouble. I have done in the past for asking a woman her age, but I'm trying not to anymore, but based on the young designers competition, listen, let's get past that. Let's we try not to be too PC on this. How and what is the next step for you? Where do you see it happening in 10 years time on one hand? And then on the other hand, something that I said to Michael Magar, people had this perception of me when I started my business at 24, 25 years of age, that I should have a beard and a big woolly jumper, and or it was my dad's business or my dad's dad's business, and because that's how horticulture maybe then and still can and sometimes is perceived. How is it for a young lady in the business? Not so much lady as in, you know, male or female.
I'm not sure if it's a difference being a young lady or a young male, I would say. It's difficult at the start as a designer, because you are not very well known, and you need to find your feet in the around the project, around the business industry, this industry. It is difficult, but I guess you need courage. And if you have the ambition and you know what you want, I would just say just go for it. I mean, I've recently been working with RHS Scotland for a couple of campaigns. So we've recently finished a campaign done for Greening Great Britain project, which was I've helped them design a community garden for Sahelia Group, which is a group that works primarily with asylum seekers and refugee communities. So that came after Tatton. And I do have a couple of other projects at the moment, which I can't really talk much about. But it's been a bit surreal seeing people coming straight to you and saying, oh, I want you to help me with this garden. I want you to build me a garden, because I normally, all my projects, all my work before Tatton has been obtained through competition. So I would say that Tatton did open a lot of doors for me in this in the garden design industry.
Do you think it would have been easier for you just to put a garden together and submit it into Tatton now that you've done the Young Designers competition? Or was it, no, Peter, look, you get so much more when you go through that Young Designers competition, that overall experience is just one you really, really should do?
I think as a new designer, as a person that wants to learn more, I would probably suggest to go for the Young Designer competition, because it is an opportunity where you meet a lot of new people and you are helped and guided by RHS, by Paul Harvey Brooks. So I think this whole process, it's a good learning curve for every young garden designer. So I would probably encourage them to go through the same or to a similar process that I did. And it also depends, obviously, on the budget. If you have the money, if you have the sponsor to do a flower show garden, because they are not cheap, as everybody knows. Obviously, there is a second option to just submit your proposal, go with a sponsor, go with a contractor, and build your own garden as well. But I will definitely encourage young designer to go to the young designer competition.
And Anke, can I ask you, did you have an additional sponsor when you were building the garden at Tatton?
I did go over budget. It was expected. I did have a sponsor, and I did put some money from my own personal savings as well. I mean, once you are building a garden, you get to the stage where it doesn't matter. I just want to have it finished. to the way I see it, to the highest standard as much as possible, because you don't want to have any regrets, especially when it's your first show garden. You don't want to look back and say, oh, if only I had put a bit more money into it, it could have looked a bit better.
But isn't that the thing, Anka? And for a guy who self-funded two show garden bills, I'm paused for words because I'm hesitant to speak in terms of, as I invariably do end up saying this, but sometimes building gardens is like, it's the only analogy I do know that sums it up quite well across the board for everybody. And it is when you fall in love, money does not matter. As silly as that sounds, standing outside a woman's bedroom window in her parents' front garden, throwing stones at it, singing to her drunk at 4 o'clock in the morning. In hindsight, whilst I giggle at that, it was where my heart was. The illogic didn't matter, irrespective of how I described that. So your willingness to, and what you've just said, which is that the money didn't matter, the finish of the garden or the completion of that picture that I had in my head to make it as perfect as possible, is, I gather, what you saw.
Yes, I mean, I'm not saying that money doesn't matter when building a garden. I mean, you can, for a flower show garden, because it's high standard, it's always going to be more expensive than if you were to build a normal garden, because you wouldn't have mature plants in it, or you wouldn't have, you could value engineer, or you could just redesign in longer time. Like you could split it, you could split the design of the garden. While for a flower show garden, because you need to have that instant impact, it's always going to be a bit more expensive. So that's why it is important to have a sponsor, I guess, on your side when building a flower show garden.
Yeah, I think the two things that I remember in building show gardens was the amount of people who gave things to me free gratis. And the only thing I could do to thank them was to buy them a cup of coffee. And I remember we had a bill of 384 euros for coffee over a 3-week garden build, which was ridiculous. But it was also a huge compliment, because I wouldn't have been able to afford to really pay for all of those things that were given and gifted to me out of kindness.
Yes, I did have suppliers, manufacturers that helped me with building the garden, because, I mean, it is an expensive industry, building the garden, either by donating materials or either by just making a reduction from the initial price.
I know you've said to me you've got a couple of things that you can't mention, which invariably every single garden designer, including myself, is entitled to say, and I won't push you any more than that. But are there plans to go and do another garden?
I'm hoping, yes, that I'm going to carry on doing another show garden, because it is very addictive. You kind of get the bug once you've done it once. So it would be great if I'll do another one. It does take a lot of time. It does take a lot of patience. And you probably, even in your sleep, you think about planting, you think about materials, have I ordered that in time? But it is very addictive.
It is extremely addictive, and every single person, including myself, will back that up. It's a bug that I've been at personally for a while, but I'm not being interviewed here, so we leave that just to one side for the moment. In the meantime, if you're listening to any of this, if you're on the road, if you're traveling, if you head to sodshow.com or just send me a note at sodshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesodshow. It's available on iTunes, all good podcast stores. If you're heading that direction, give it a wee rate and review. And if you're looking for this episode, just put Anka, A-N-C-A, into any of the search engines with Sodshow, and it should come up for you. In the meantime, Anka Elena Panay. I hope I pronounced that correctly, Anka, did I?
Yes, perfectly.
Yeah, okay. That's pretty good. Okay, for an Irish guy, that's pretty good. Thank you so much for your time. To you listening at home, again, anything you might need at Sodshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesodshow, sodshow.com. We'll put you directly in touch with Anka. We've got all our details. We've got everything that you need up there, including a beautiful photograph supplied to me by Tim Hell, who took that at Tatton 2017 and standing in front of a garden. We'll try and see if we can find that one of Monty. It's not me. I should add. But it's Monty nonetheless. He's a close runner-up second, isn't he? Yes, says he with a wry giggle of a smile on the side of his face. Oh, and in case I forget, the Sideshow Christmas Party takes place December the 9th, 2017. In the meantime, have a great weekend in the great outdoors. I'll see the rest of you next week at the Garden Media Guild Awards in London. Take care. Chat soon. It's fun. Bye-bye.